We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Your word, we thank you for these who have come, and we praise you for what you shall speak to our hearts, sharing with us from your mind, from the Holy Writ. And so, God, I thank you again. As you reveal and unveil the principles that we are to practice, and if practiced, we shall prosper. And if we prosper, God will give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We today are going to be dealing with a message that asks a question, and it has to do with the believer being able to answer for him or herself as relates to your walk with God and in the love of God. And it is, are you walking in love? It's a question that you must ask yourself, because one of the reasons why it's a self-imposing question is because you will be truthful with you whether you say it to anybody else or not. You'll know whether or not you are walking in love, and as we walk through the word will bear witness of whether or not you are walking in love. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Now this is important for us as we use this these verses as our launching scripture today. Now it starts off by saying, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We want to use the Word of God as our roadmap. We want to follow God according to what He has structured and He has placed in the Holy Writ as the standard by which we ought to operate. Now what's good about this is understanding. Verse 2 says, "And as we use God's word as our roadmap, as our instructional manual, it says, and walk in love, which literally means to execute what it is you have received as instructions or directions. So in other words, if you didn't know how to love and you didn't know how God did it before we started this word, you're going to have his word as his foundation, as the format for us to use and to follow. But it's all encompassing when you recognize that just to know it makes you a hearer. But God wants you to be more than a hearer. He wants you to be what? A doer. And that's why verse 2 starts off, and in essence, once you know it, do it, and walk in love. And now he tells us how, as Christ also hath loved us. Well, now one of the greatest examples of love has already been demonstrated in Christ's love for us. Because there are some things that we know individually about what God has done through Jesus Christ in us and for us and to us and through us. And so because we know this experientially, we have experienced this in our own personal lives. How many of us have experienced his love when we know we didn't deserve it? How many of us he's told to do things and we didn't do it and he kept on loving us? He told us not to do and we did. I mean, we keep on. So as he has loved us and have given himself for us an offering, he stood in your place and in my place, paid for the penalty that each one of us rightly deserved for our sins and our shortcomings and setbacks. And he did it as a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. In other words, instead of the stench that would have gone up in God's nostril concerning us, Jesus intercepted, stood in our place. And so instead of the stench came a sweet smelling savor. He said, boy, John sure smells good. But when he looked at the sins, that wouldn't have been what he had smelled, would have gone up in his nostrils, what he would have received. But because Jesus interceded and intercepted and did for me what I couldn't do for myself, God saw something, received something far different than it would have been without Jesus. So using this as our launching pad, let's look at some classifications of love. I definitely want you to write all of this down as much as you can just so that we can get a full hold on this love that God wants us to experience and demonstrate. There are three basic classifications of love. One is called agape. This is God-like love. This describes the highest and purest form of love that is only possible to achieve with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the agape love. This is the God kind of love. Second is philia, which is the love that we get friendship or brotherly love from, which is where the word Philadelphia, brotherly love, hails from. This describes a mutual brotherly type love, fellowship, companionship, and that's an important love as relates to our relationships in circumferences outside of the last one, which is Eros, which is a romantic-like love. It describes love between a man and a woman. And so here are your basic three areas of love that we all will experience or have experienced or are experiencing even now. The agape love is the God-like love. That is the first and foremost. That's the love we experienced before we ever knew about love, because God loved us even before we knew what love was all about. Philia is, again, that friendship, that brotherly love kind that we have in platonic relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And Eros is the romantic love drawn between man and woman. And one must first operate in agape love in order to achieve success in the other forms of love. Now, whether you're talking about filial or eros, if you don't have agape right, neither one of them will be strong and successful. Truth of the matter is, all love ought to be predicated, ought to be based upon, ought to be founded on agape love. Because if you love the way God wants you to love, then you're going to love your brother the way that you ought to love your brother. You're going to love your wife or your husband the way you ought to love them, because it's about loving God the way God has said, and that love passes on to all of the other loves. So you've got to get the agape love right before the other two. And that's why if you can't have a good friendship or relationship or brotherly love experience, it's because you don't have the agape right. If you can't get your love life together, it's because you ain't got your agape right. So all of this is going to go back to that part, because if you know how to treat God, you know how to treat your brother, your sister, you know how to treat your husband or your wife. And so all of that's important to recognize. Also, I want to talk about the characteristics of agape love. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verses 4 through 8, you're going to find out charity, which is another word for love, is really the essence of agape love. Look at what it says. Charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Love, in the word of charity, envieth not. Charity vaunted not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I can just stop right there before I even get to the other couple verses and ask you, do you really have the agape love operating in you? Love suffers long. Some of you be like, I ain't gonna take this another day, another minute. We don't go long, we don't handle it. I mean, it says it's kind. Are we really kind to those who are not kind to us? Because this is in the place of folk who don't treat you kindly. Now, it's easy to be kind. Well, maybe it may not be easy to be kind to people who are kind to you. But most times it's easy to be kind to people who are kind. But that's not the kind of love that this is talking about, because agape love is kind when other folk are not kind. Listen, it doesn't envy other folk. Why would you envy when the God that gave them that can give you that? All right? I mean, it doesn't puff itself up. It doesn't vaunt itself. Doesn't behave itself unseemly. Listen, just because somebody else acts a fool doesn't give you a license to act a fool. Just because somebody else does a certain thing doesn't give you the right to do that certain thing. So you got to be careful to understand you don't act unseemly when they come all unglued and act all like this, talk all loud, be disrespectful. That's not how you act or respond. It says, seeketh not her own, is not selfish. It ain't all about you, boo. And you don't act like it's like that. Is not easily provoked. I mean, you know, they're going to have to go some way. They're going to have to go deep to get underneath your skin and mess with you, because you're not easily provoked. They can't just say a little this, a little that, and you just shoot off and, you know, and then you lose your cool and pull off, you know, your religion. And when you get to give them a piece of your mind and knocking them down, then you put your robe back on to righteousness. Don't work like that. This, and look at what it says. Thinketh no evil. Now, you know, even when folk do you wrong, it literally means that you don't harbor that mess in your heart. Because if you keep thinking about the wrong they've done, you guess what's going to happen? You're going to think about how to do them wrong back, how to make them feel what they made you feel, how to hurt them, how to render evil for evil. All of that becomes a part of it when you think evil. All right? It says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. You don't rejoice in vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. And you rejoiceth in the truth. The truth is the only thing that makes us free. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is agape love. You can't have this without the Holy Ghost. Isn't it? You can bear some things, but you can't do all things. You can believe some things. Now, again, it carries the deepest and most sincerest and purest of all of these different realities and entities. Believing that in spite of what you see, there is better beneath the surface. So you got to believe it, because God has placed that in all of us. And so when we begin to tap into God's love, God's understanding, how God operates, then we believe it according to the word of God. It says, hopeth all things. I mean, you got to be able to do like Abram, who hoped against hope. When it's just impossible, there's no way you can figure it out, it's going to work out, it doesn't even look like, you're going to believe what God says. And so that means you have to hope against what everything in your natural, logical mind tells you or says to you is or is not going to happen. You go back and you begin to hope based on what God has said, not on how you feel. And then it says, love never faileth. Never faileth. There are some things that might fail, but love never fails. And when you realize that love never fails, you don't have a problem with giving love because you no longer fear rejection because love never fails. Never fails. See, the reason why some people can't love, can't receive love is because they're afraid of rejection. And so listen to this. If you're sincere and your motives are right, you don't have a problem giving your love freely as God wants us to in the agape way, because whether they accept it or not, whether they receive it or not, you've done what God has ordered and honored you to do, and that is to give from you what you freely received from Him. So that means if they don't receive that, they're not receiving you. They're not receiving God. See, but we take it personal and we get caught up in the middle. Well, they rejected me. No, they didn't reject me. They rejected the God in me. I'm just the vessel. I'm a vehicle carrying the valuables. And so if you don't want what I've got, that means you don't want the one who gave it to me to give to you. Stop taking it personal. Letting the devil beat up on you, making you afraid to show and to say and to do what God has told you to do. See, you don't understand that the agape love is the thing that causes the changes and that rearranges minds and hearts and matter. And because you're afraid of rejection, you don't do what He told you to do. So as a result, you reject God as opposed to being afraid as opposed to doing what God told you to do because you're afraid of being rejected by man. So those are some of the characteristics of agape love. But I want you to see the confirmation of God's love because that's so important. John 3:16, very familiar verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He did what? Gave His only begotten Son. Now each one of these, I want you to see something about the confirmation of God's love, because in each one, you're going to discover that love is about action. Somebody say love is about action. You need to tell folk that love you, they'll say they love you and don't show you, put some action with it. Because everything that's got anything to do with God got some action with it. So if it's an agape love, starting from the purest of love, you're going to see that God shows you how to love with the God kind of love, and it's always with action behind it. All right, so in John 3:16, we see gave is this action word here. Romans 5:8, but God commended. Listen to this. His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even before we even got it straight, He commended His love, His Son's love, His love, all of that love toward us. Again, actively doing it. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at this active word. You know, He loved us because we, again, if we have the agape love, we're going to want to demonstrate by duplicating the very love that now occupies us. So again, He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at this, another action word now. You can't love your brother and sister in Christ if you're not willing to do something for it. Showing it, demonstrating it. And so again, He makes that clear in this word. 1 John 4:9-10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here again, love in the agape sense is always about action. It's always about moving. It's always about manifesting itself. God's love is never just talk. It's talk and action. The talk just lets you know what the action is going to do. In other words, it's show and tell and tell and
show. And that's what real love is. Because if it's anything less than telling and showing and telling, it's a whole lot of talk and no action behind it, which in the end ends up to be nothing. All right? Now, we need to look at the core principles of walking in love. Look at what Matthew 22, 36 and 37 says. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, we're talking about the core principles of walking in love. If you recognize this, when you give God the love from your heart as you have seen the love that he's demonstrated toward you from his heart, then you're going to love him with all of your heart, not part of your heart, which means he's the center and circumference of your love, first and foremost, as it relates to loving him supremely above any and everybody. And then it talks about with all thy soul and with all thy mind. In other words, your complete being is in love with God.
Yeah.
So you give no place to the devil to come in and mess with you, mess over you, mess around you, because you have focused all that ought to be where it ought to be, and that's on God. Now, how many of you know if you've got this kind of love for God, ain't much the devil can do to get into your heart, into your soul, or into your mind? Listen to this. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, we can stop right there, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now these are the principles of walking in love. If I have bitterness in me, it's going to somehow escape and enter into my conversation, out of my speech. It's going to, if it is in me, it's going to be in my mind, which means I'm going to think about it. And then ultimately, the bitterness is going to be acted upon if it is allowed to fester in my heart. Whatever has made me bitter, I've obviously missed the bigger lesson. God allowed it not so that it would make me bitter, but make me better. And I stopped at the part where I perceived myself to have failed, or it didn't go according to my motives or my plan. And so because of that, I get an attitude, get nasty acting, act this way or that way that does not align itself with God's word. Because here's what we got to realize. There are some things God don't bring or put upon us, but we ourselves, through decisions we make, and listen to this, we make bad decisions, but we want God to make it right. Well, then God said, you made that decision. Now, what I'm going to do is help you make it through what you've done. But God doesn't always change. See, this is what we've got to realize. He will let us make our own choices, but he won't let us control our own consequences. So when your consequences are messed up, 9 out of 10 times, it's because your choices were messed up. And your choices were messed up many times because of the content you utilized to make the choice. And that's why the devil don't want you to know the word of God, because if you don't know the word of God, you don't have the right content. If you don't have the right content, you don't make the right choices. If you don't make the right choices, you can't expect the right consequences. And so all of this is a part of understanding how he wants you to walk in the principles of love. You got to put bitterness away, because bitterness always leads to wrath and anger and clamor. You know what clamor is? Amen. Clamor is blah, 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 blah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just the same old mess and stuff like that. I mean, you just wear people down with that same old mess. Get over it. Move on. Leave it alone. Let it go. Clamoring ain't going to change nothing about it, because after that comes evil speaking. You know, and when you start wishing evil on other folk, guess what's going to happen? It's a boom. Hit you back in the face. It's a boomerang effect. Listen to this again. He says, let all that be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Don't be so hard-hearted. You think you're strong being hard-hearted? No, it shows you how weak you are.
Yeah.
Listen at this. Forgiving one another. Why? One of the principles of the Word of God is simple. If you don't forgive me, God's not going to forgive you. And if I don't forgive you, God's not going to forgive me. So if there's no other motivation for forgiving one another, that's the main one. And then look what it says. Even, underscore the word, even. As God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. God forgave us for Jesus' sake. For him who knew no sin, taking on himself all of our sin, God made it right with us because of Jesus. And if he did it in this sacrificial way, so could we do it with our brothers and our sisters. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all your things be done with charity. Let all your things be done with charity. Now, with charity means, again, with love. Let all the things that you do be done with love. You don't do anything out of malice, out of evil speaking, out of conceit, out of deceit, out of destruction, out of none of those things. Let everything you do have the love of God connected with it. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now, this is the way that we ought to interact with one another. Why is that so important? Because if we are all of one mind, then we ought to treat one another the way we want to be treated. And sometimes, listen at this, this means doing it first. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. That means you might need to be the first one to say, I'm sorry.
That's right. All right.
Well, they know you're supposed to say, yeah, but you may have a closer fellowship and relationship with God. God, you may be on another level with God. So listen, you can't speak for your brother or your sister, but you can and you will speak for yourself. So if God deals with you, it very well may be because you're closer to him. And if you're closer to him, he says, now I want you to get closer to them. I want you to give to them what I've given to you. I've looked beyond your faults. I'm still meeting your needs. When you come to me and ask me to forgive you time and time and time and time and time and time, I can't even count all the times. And I've done it. I want you to do the same thing with them. I mean, and it goes on and he says, I want you to do it with compassion. Not like, you know, you just, man, God is really twisting my arm to do this. But I'm going to say it, but I don't really mean it. No, don't even say it then, because God gets no glory and you get no good out of it if you don't really mean it. That's why it says having compassion. Then it says love as brethren. Now, when you really love your brothers and sisters in the flesh, of course, that may not be a good example, but it should be. You know, when it says we are family, I mean, when you really got that brotherly love, I mean, if it's in the truest and purest sense of the word, I mean, it's kind of like that blood is thicker than water mentality. You hurt my brother, you done hurt the whole family. You know, you can't just handle him and not handle me. So we all in this together. You know, and you know, it ain't quite like that today, but back then in the day, it used to be like that. You know? And so, and God, you know, help you if you had one that was from a big family. I might have been able to beat up two or three of them, but if he got seven brothers, it just keeps going up to the line, you know, up the line till it, you know, one beats you. Then that's where it stopped at.